Lord.
You can see tonight, this morning. Thank God for a beautiful day he's given us. And just always done for us throughout the week. So I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would. Take your evening light song book. Turn to page number 479. 479. Seated. So switch over to the red hymnal, if you would. Page number 34. Sing about the song yesterday. Still praying on, I onward bound. Lord,
to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. For some have found where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane.
Amen. We certainly hope that's each one's desire to go to higher ground than where we're at. And I'm afraid too many satisfied where they're at. I mean, we can see the signs all around us. That's where people, they're dissatisfied. But God help us to get a fire lit under us. He got one lit under me this week, so I'm thankful for that. I have a report from West Virginia. I talked to my aunt Friday morning, and she said her daughter's doing a little bit better. They took her in, and she was dehydrated from all the chemotherapy, and they got her some IVs and got her some fluid in her. She's feeling a little better, but still a little bit discouraged. And I want to pray for my other, put it the same, my other cousin Tammy. She's pretty blunt with her sister, telling her you need to get your life in order. And she's the one that's able to do it. So I just pray that God will really use her and be able to speak to Linda through this. So, but do thank God she's feeling better. And then also just thank God for the good week he's given us and the good day of study yesterday. And thankful for just the ability to serve him. Anyone else have praise on their heart? Sister Melinda?
I want to thank God how he's helped me with my back. It started about January. I started having trouble with it. And one morning I really felt God would have me come up and get anointed and prayed for. And I was about ready to go see a chiropractor when all this coronavirus hit and everything shut down. So I couldn't do that. And I just kept dealing with it and just kept praying and saying, God, I did what you told me to do. And just recently, something shifted in my back. I knew what had happened. And since then, it has started getting better. And I'm just very, very thankful for that.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Anyone else have praise on their heart?
I want to thank the Lord for his protection Friday. I had to run to town. And I like garage sales, and we went to a garage sale. Well, somewhere between garage sale and Walmart, I hit something, and by the time I got to Walmart, I had a flat tire. But I think, well, I was at least able to get into the Walmart parking lot, and I was in Mount Vernon, so Sam was just across town, and he was able to come over. Yeah, we had to go to Walmart and buy a compressor and all the stuff to fix it, but I think, well, it's still cheaper than having to get new tires.
My Lord. Anyone else?
Stuck on 2 seconds, and I
really thankful for that.
Thank the Lord. I'd burn midnights.
Yes, amen.
Anyone else?
I want to thank God on having a granddaughter, and mom's going much better. So, and baby's going well.
Yes. Thank the Lord. Anyone else?
Brother Matt, the chorus of that song we just sang, one part says, "A higher plane than I have found." And I don't know, that just struck me this morning. If we're not seeking and searching, we might never find greener pastures. We might not find that refreshing
right.
water. And that just kind of struck me this morning. We need to be searching and doing our part to move up to higher ground.
Amen. Anyone else?
I want to thank the Lord for his keeping power. I want to thank him that I didn't get any more of my fascia board and gutter tore off my house when the storms went in. And that I was able to, somebody was gracious enough to help me get put back up.
Thank the Lord. Anyone else have praise on their heart?
Brother Matt, I want to thank the Lord for protection this week. Some of us were on the road a little bit and just safety, and just thankful that he looks out for us even when we don't need, know that we need it. And just thankful for all his blessings.
Amen.
I want to thank God that I get to be here this morning. I was running a little bit behind, but I thank God I got here to hear the whole message instead of part of a message. Because when you don't, it's like traveling 11.5%. If you ain't got the whole quarter, you can't spend the whole quarter.
Amen. Anyone else?
Scripture in John that says, "Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." And we are in scary times.
Amen.
And without this, I would be afraid.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for the comforter. Yep. Anyone else? Well, prayer requests. We need to continue to remember our nation, remember the leaders, and remember the Christian people. We stand true to God. And we'd be a good light, be a good example through all this. Remember the sinners that are in the world. Remember our policemen. Remember all these riots that's going on. A lot of unrest. And then on a local level, we got a call yesterday. A lady by the name of Ellen Dettler just lives just neighbor to Dad up here. I believe she's 90 or close to it. She has some abdominal bleeding.
She had to have surgery.
Had to have emergency surgery. And yesterday?
Day before
yesterday. I knew they took her into the hospital. And she's had some trouble. She basically coded on the table here the last time. And they brought her back. And she's been pretty good. Been out on her garden and everything. I just seen her. But she has some needs on her body. And then also, I should remember Raymond, her husband. And then on down the road, continue to remember Zane Darling. Zane had a stroke there last week, and he's back home. And just remember these ones that are have illness, and maybe God make an opportunity for us to get in and talk to them about their soul. And continue to remember my cousin down in West Virginia, and just many needs. Anyone else have outspoken requests? Sister Amanda. Anyone else?
Remember Ryan, he's home sick today. Another guy that works on his machine had all the results set like Friday, yesterday. Now Ryan's not feeling well. So just remember both of them.
And Brother Ryan not feeling well this morning. And the fellow he works with. Anyone else? Remember Andrew. Also, can you remember Joe and Jill? God would really undertake for him. I know he's searching, and pray that God would give him the courage and the strength to do what he needs to do, and just stay encouraged. So, anyone else? Take unspoken burdens up, raised hands. I'd like to ask you to stand if you can. Sister Sherry, will you open service for us, please?
Father, thank you for another day that we can come to your house, Lord. We just ask that you, first of all, be in our service, just have your way, Brother Matt, whatever we have him to bring, Lord, help us to listen with open ears and open hearts, God, and apply what is meant for us, God. We just ask you to be with many needs and burdens, the ones that are sick, be with our country, just be with our leaders, just supply each and every need, Lord. We don't remember each request, but you do. We just ask that you would supply whatever is needed, God. Just help us today. Thank you for all that you do. We'll give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. A couple announcements. We have today at 3:30, Brother Tim.
Yeah.
Is it 90th? 90th birthday party for Brother Tim's mother, Sister Marion Lewis. It's down at the barn at God's Acres at 3:30 today. If you would like to, those of you that know her would like to get down and celebrate with her a little bit. So that being announced. And then also, I appreciate it. Someone donated quite a bit of money for lights. Brother Danny went ahead and ordered them. We're going to get all new basement lights. The Lord knows who that was that donated that, so we appreciate that, and we're working on getting them in there. So as soon as they come in, there'll be some of this style right here, so I have everything kind of matching lower profiled. So thank you for that, and thank the Lord for that. So I don't think we have any other announcements. Sister Minnick, the church looks very nice. Thank you for cleaning and disinfecting. And Brother Tony and Brother Sam have been taking care of the yard. Looks really nice. I appreciate it. So appreciate everybody that's been helping out. So I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Mike.
Would that squire come if they wouldn't? Page 63.
Lord, we are to do thy will. page 105. 105. Sometimes we just forget that He rescued us too. That Jesus rescued us. And we're not standing in this alone. It's just like Aunt Debbie said this morning. I'm thankful for that comforter that He's in my heart. And let not our heart be troubled. And how do we not let our heart be troubled? Just remember what He did for us.
Amen.
Just remember what He did. When we was in a shape we couldn't get out. And I think this song tells a lot of it.
I was sinking, now how I cried to Jesus, and he saved me just in time.
Song. I actually looked at that this morning and I was thinking, well, maybe I could come up and sit on the front row and sing that if I wanted to sing it. And we sang it anyway. So just thank the Lord for that. So thank him that he rescued me.
See, we're passing this stuff up. God's trying to lead us.
Yes.
And we get the best blessings when we do what just God wants us to do.
Yeah.
He impressed us. I can remember some of the other saints saying he impresses us. So I've been impressed to do this. So we're just going to do it the way I do it. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he came from Calvary to save a wretch like me.
Savior forever, he sought me and he
And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.
Anyone else have a song in your heart or praise this morning? Let's go to page, I believe it's 84 in your treasure hymn. Page 84. I was like, I feel like I'm the only one singing. All right, let's try that again. 84 in your trade. I can't. Evening Light, this book right here. All mixed up. Walking in sunlight. Sunlight of love. Leave the quartet as a song. I almost forgot about that. Safe in Him, no matter what's going on around us. And if we anchored our soul in the haven of rest, like the song was saying, we'll be good. We'll be solid. So thank the Lord for that. We'll turn it over to you, brother. I thank the Lord for His goodness to me, and God's still alive. He's still real. He's still dealing with us, and He wants us to seek Him out. And when we seek Him out, and He gives us things to do, He expects us to follow through with Him. And as I've had a lot of time meditating this week. I've had a lot of tractor time, and when I sit on the tractor and it's pretty much just use your feet and your hands, and your mind's pretty well free to think on whatever you want to. And I've been thinking a lot on the things of the Lord and praying and asking God to stir us up, to help us. And that seems like, and I'm not picking on you, but as a whole, it seems like that a lot of times worship service is just dead. It's just dead. People just going through motions. There's no burning testimonies. There's no... Lord, put a fire in us. And the Lord impressed me. Brother Tony had showed me that song, Victory in Jesus. There's a group that wrote another verse to it. And just... the Lord impressed me. Just burst out singing it. Don't tell them page this. It's in your heart. Do it. We've gotten so scared to praise God for what He's done. I was thinking, when we're going to read some of these things, if God would really, really move on the things we said He moved on, if there was really a burden for us, we would have some excitement. Amen. We would have some excitement that God lifted this, that God done this. But we're so busy all the time trying to convince ourselves that God's real, that God cares about us, that we don't really do that. So this is what the Lord impressed me with today. I will not get through with it this morning. I don't think. So I'm not even going to try. But I'll get you out of here around noon. Or wherever the Lord says quit. And then we'll pick it up the rest of this evening. How is your faith? How is your faith? And is it all that important? And if we would put some importance on faith, ours would be better. Amen. How's your faith today in God? How's your faith today in God's Word? Faith. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful how You've been with us today. And Lord, we ask You that You give us anointing to make the preaching possible, Lord. We're burdened to get this off our heart. And Lord, onto the heart of the saints to encourage them, Lord, to stir them up, Father. Lord, into a pure way of thinking, Lord, to provoke one another unto good works. And Lord, we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Webster defines faith an allegiance or duty to a person, loyalty, a belief or trust in God, complete trust, or a system of religious beliefs. Those are the definitions you get when you look in Webster, and they're probably wanting to change the definition of that too, the way things are going. And we're living in, and as our sister just said, we're living in a very, very dangerous time, a troubling time. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, it'll be perilous times, and there'll be dangers because people will be giving heed to fables, to untrue statements, and not to the Word of God. And if we're not careful, the church, the very church, and this is the warning was to the church, you'll turn your ears to fables and not unto the Word of God. So help us today. See what we really need. Now faith, that we've read Webster's definition, but in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, faith is the substance, now faith, wonder why that word now is in there. Now, right now, faith. The faith you have right now is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, before we get into this, Sunday school was very good this morning. And those of you depriving yourself from Sunday school, You shouldn't. You shouldn't. Oh, here we go about Sunday school. It's not in the Bible. Neither is worship like this either. But it's the way God ordained it. It's the way it set it up. And if you can be here, you should be here. Because you're depriving yourself. And I'll say this. You are in a position you could maybe encourage someone else. And you're not doing that. God help us. And some little brother, I'm not going to feel good about this. There's going to come a point in time when you've got to submit to God, or you're not going to feel good upon judgment day when He comes and says, I wanted you to do this, but you chose that. Amen. I told you I'd learn to be more blunt when I was out in the parking lot. God, I'm going to start preaching on the things that are hindering you as a Christian and that are hindering the church. And we can overcome those things. Look in Genesis. Brother Danny brought this out. I want to encourage you. I was encouraged by it. On the sixth day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all earth, on every tree, in which is the fruit of a yielding tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I can prove it right by that our faith is waning in God's Word. People don't have faith that this world can turn around and people can be saved anymore. Man, we think of someone, well, they won't want this, they won't want that. I've told you for 2 years, be careful you don't choose or unchoose salvation for somebody who God wants you to witness to. God, we see right here in God's Word, man was created with His intentions to be good. That was God's intention, that man was to be good. That when He brought that this morning, it encouraged me. This is why I'm saying it was good for me to be here this morning. As a preacher of the gospel, there's times I just get tired of telling people how good they could have it if they'd turn from sin, but they just keep living in sin. And you think, oh, what's the use? What's the use? But here God's Word says, but I intended them for good. And if God intended some for good, it's God's will that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, the Word says. It was just another shot in the arm. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Not what I think. Not what I feel. Amen. I was praying last week, Lord, I'm a little bit discouraged. And I just told Chris, I said, you get some things that's going on in the church, you can't talk to your congregation about it. You can't. There's some things a pastor can't talk to his congregation about. And then Friday I was into Lowe's, and this older gentleman come in there, and he was looking for something. He was looking, and I was looking for stuff. And he said, I can't find them unkinkable hoses. And I looked down and said, well, right here's one. I said, the price was $24. He said, put her in my cart. So I put it in his cart, and we stood there for a little bit. And he said something about, he opened it up with all this. This stuff's crazy, he said. People walking around us, and he was talking about the riots, I guess is what it was that started it out. He said, just crazy. We got talking there for a little bit. He's an old pastor. And we started talking about things. He gave me his phone number. He said, I want to get with you and have coffee here for long. He's not of the same beliefs that we are all together. But his spirit was witnessing with my spirit. And he was gentle. You could feel God's spirit. We started talking about the things of God right there in the middle of the Lowe's, and people's walking by looking at us. But God's getting His word out. God's hearing prayer. Amen. And one of the things He was concerned about, he's still preaching some, is the coolness, the lukewarm condition. Are you still on fire like you used to be? Ask yourself that question. Right now, you're going to be accountable for all. We all. Or quit saying you're a Christian if you won't be accountable. There ain't no sense in saying I'm a Christian if you're not going to be accountable to God's Word. He said in Revelation, the church of our time, Laodicea, our condition was what? Lukewarm. We're comfortable. We don't want out of our comfort zone. If God tells us to pray, if He tells us to get our hind ends up out of bed and come to Sunday school, we want our comfort. We want what we want. That's a condition. And we say, I have need of nothing. I don't need that. Now knowest not that you're poor, blind, naked, wretched. That's why we need preachers. Amen. That's why preachers need preachers. But man, the intention is to be good. The prisons are full of what we call bad men. God intended for them to be good. He intended for them to be good. That ought to give us hope with witnessing to the people we are considered lost. We've got God on our side. When we start pleading for them, oh God, would you save this one? God, would you work this situation out where we could talk to them about their soul? Oh yeah, I'll create a way. Will you do it when I do? Will you take the step of faith when I do? Will you do these things when I do? Hebrews 11 has said, now faith. I just wanted to point that out in Genesis. You've got someone you're carrying a burden for. God intended for them to be good. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care what they've done. God intended for them to be good. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I'm going to read you a little bit out of a commentary, Matthew Henry, because I think this really describes this here. Here we have a definition or description of the grace of faith in two parts. It is the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope go together. Think about this, in this definition, faith and hope go together. If there's something wrong with your hope, then there's something wrong with your faith. If you have no hope, no one's going to get saved. If you have no hope, the situation you're praying for is not going to get better. You don't have much faith in what you're asking God to do. I was sitting out yesterday morning and drinking coffee, or Friday morning, I guess it was, on the porch, and I was looking through my messages and looking for a couple songs on YouTube. I come across this, start your day out this 3-minute prayer. So I clicked on it, and all of it was good except for one point that said, Lord, I know I'm going to fail today. And that troubled me. That troubled me. And the reason it troubled me is because this. In the first part, when I pray, God, I thank you for this, 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 and this. That's kind of how I start mine out. And then, Lord, thank you for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the ability to be a Christian. Thank you, Lord, for guiding me. Then turn around and say, Lord, I know I'm going to fail today. Well, then God's not guiding you and leading you. God doesn't fail. He can't fail. Amen. Now, we can fail. I understand what they're meaning. But you see how the enemy's working through this, brothers and sisters. That you may disagree, but that's how he works on people. He changes things real little at a time. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They changed their names for a reason. They give them false god names, so they wouldn't be reminded of the things that God has done. And in our prayers, even the devil's wanting in our prayers, brothers and sisters, Lord, we thank you for all things, making all things possible. But I know I'm going to fail today. Right there, it's already starting out. It's waning. With God, all things are possible. And if you're living for God, it's possible to live above sin, because God don't live in sin. And you won't fail. You'll be able to accomplish the thing God will do. Praise God for that.
Amen.
That ought to be an exciting thing to the Christian. God, wake us up. My God, send the Spirit down and wake us up. Make us hungry for truth again. Make us be on fire and be seeking to get on a higher plane, a higher ground. Brother Matt, you're saying I'm just. Wake up! You're losing your soul. Faith and hope go together. And the same things that are object of our hope are the object of our faith. It is a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that He has promised us in Christ. And this persuasion is so strong that it gives the soul a kind of possession, and a present fruitation of those things gives them substance in the soul by the first fruits and the foretaste of them, so that believers in the exercise of faith are filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ dwells in the soul by faith, and the soul is filled with fullness of God as far as His present measure will admit. He experiences a substantial reality in the objects of faith. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind and the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. Faith is the firm assent of the soul to the divine revelation in every part of it, and sets it to seal that God is true. It is the full approbation of all that God has revealed as holy, just, and good. It helps the soul to make application of all to itself with suitable affections and endeavors. And so it is designed to serve the believer instead of sight, and be to the soul all that are the senses are to the body. We need faith. It's important. We need to keep check of our faith. We need to make sure. We need to, when our faith, we're the first person to know when our faith is waning. Or you start talking to people about faith. If I come up and say, how's your faith? Oh, it's fine. Amen. But we're the first people to know, God, my faith is weak. Even the disciples told Christ, increase our faith, and have knowledge that we need it. I'm preaching this message on faith this morning. And by faith I'm preaching it. Amen. Why is there so much fear today in our world, our country? Why? Why in our country is so much fear? America claims to be a Christian nation, doesn't it? By a large scale, our people say they're Christian, but they're full of fear. They're full of anxiety. They're full of fear, anxiety, and depression. Those things all work together. And I've dealt with depression. And I'm not saying you're doomed for hell if you've dealt with depression, but it's, you talk about a pandemic in our country. Is depression. Everybody's best where you talk about is on something for something. And most of 90% of it probably is more spiritual than anything else. If people would deal with the spiritual side of it, they wouldn't need that other stuff of it. It would relieve the anxiety, it would relieve the depression, it would relieve the fear. My depression I overcome with prayer. And thank God that He allowed me through it, that I can understand people that's on it, and that's dealing with it, that have to be medicated for it. It's an awful place to be. But why is there so much fear in a Christian nation today? Chris testified last week that people just don't want no restraint. They're casting off all restraint. They don't want no police force, so they say. I just heard on the radio. They realize that ain't good, so the same thugs that are looting are going around now saying, I need some payment and I'll protect your store. It's going on. That's the mob mentality rule, and that's the type of rule that people want, seriously, when they say, I don't want to sit under a congregation, I don't want to sit under preaching, I can do what I need to do. You'll find out it's the same mentality with that. God help us. With all religion that's in the country today, why is all the unrest and fear? And this is the Lord laid this on my heart to say it. The reason is it's a lack of faith and a lack of prayer. A lack of faith and lack of prayer and a lack of faith in their prayer. This was said to me the other night. It's stuck with me. Luke 18 and 8. The last part of that says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Jesus was asking that question. When I come, will I find faith on earth? And in saying that, when we get back and we're going to read this, he answers his own question with the parable. He was saying, no, not much. And the thing is that he's just looking for faith. He's not looking for innocence. He's looking to see if we have faith. Not innocence. The church is so stiff trying to be innocent. We're not innocent, only in Christ. And we got to have faith in Him to keep us innocent in the sight of God through His blood. If that makes sense the way I said that. Go with me to Luke, the 18th chapter. I pray and hope the Church of God never gets politically correct where they're afraid to offend people's feelings because the preachers preach a little loud and they don't talk soothsaying. This is serious stuff we're dealing with. It's serious stuff. Look at Luke, the 18th chapter here. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. This is how you should pray, Jesus was saying. There was a saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. He could care less about God. Neither regarded a man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I will tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Will he find this kind of faith on earth? He said, I want you to pray like this lady prayed. When she had no hope as a widow woman, and there was nobody else, she kept going to that judge, said, avenge me of my enemy. Avenge me of my enemy. And not that I want you to punish them. I just want them to make their wrong right. I want them to make their wrong right. I want them to make their wrong right. Lady, would you leave me alone, is what that judge just said. And he fixed it for her. But the difference is, we've got a God that's willing to listen. And He'll avenge us speedily. But sometimes we don't think He moves fast enough. For a long time, I was burdened, and I don't know what the deal was. Maybe God just showed me something. I dearly love those folks down in Alabama. They reached out to me when I was first starting out. They encouraged me. And that's where my ordination took place. And I fell in love with those old saints down there. I did. I just love those people down there. And for whatever reason, there was a long time when we wasn't able to get down. And they didn't ask us to come down. I called and talked to Brother Tim and said, is there something between it? No, brother, there's nothing. And I wanted to go so bad, but I didn't tell him that. The only one I told was Chris, and we'd pray. God, I'd just like to get down. And I had this message burning in my heart. What'd we pray? 10 to 12 years. We prayed, God, I want to get down. I want to be able to see him. I want to know. But I didn't call them and say, hey, I got a message. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And it's funny how God works, whether you believe it or not. 10 years! And we come home from church on a Wednesday night, wasn't it? Last fall. And she said, you going to bed? I said, no, I said, I think I got a phone call coming. Because I was really getting stirred up. And I've had God do this. And you better be ready. Better be ready. Brother Tim called me. He said, hey, how about doing a revival for us in September? And we already had it worked out. It didn't even hit the days off for vacation. It lined right up. God's got a way of doing that. Have faith in what you're praying for and don't give up. I'm just bringing that out because so many people, they give up on the brink of a miracle or the brink up of an answer. Until you get an answer, lock onto that and keep praying. Because if you don't, you'll damage your faith. Even if God's answer is no, and I was prepared for that. Because I said, Lord, I'm at the point, if you don't want me to go, I don't want to keep bugging you. I don't. I'll take and accept whatever answer you give me. And when I come to that point, he answered it. But don't get to the point. I was ready if God said, no, Matt, you're not going to go. You stay right here. And he would make it clear. God's never made an answer prayer unclear. Has he? Has he ever made an answered prayer that you give God credit for unclear? Don't quit praying. Someone says, what's this got to do with faith? We'll get there if I get that far today. What happens is a lot of times you start looking at other things. You start getting involved in the things out in the world that's not sinful. But it causes you to miss a service or two here and there. Ask Brother Denny. He'll sit there and tell you. He'll come and see me. Just what you said was right. You quit. He said, now I can't get myself back in the habit of coming again. He's got himself convinced that if he comes back, you'll all think less of him because he's just scared of COVID. And I've been blue in the face with him. Someone says, well, you ain't doing a good enough job. I'm doing all I can do, but the devil can surely convince you what you need, what you don't need. This widow woman, she gives an example, and it's a parable. It's a parable. It's not a person. Jesus said it's like in all the other parables, the kingdom of heaven's like this. He's given us an example to follow. And he said, to this end, men ought. And that word ought means you really, it's really, really stressed. You should do this. You should pray to this end. Pray till you get an answer. Pray till you get an answer. And he's looking at this. This woman, she was a widow woman. She had no political status with this unjust judge. He wouldn't have cared. He would have just whatever. But she just kept at it. And she kept at it. And she kept at it. Finally, he gave her an answer. He said, she'll trouble me forever. And then he says, but God's different than this. He's not like this unjust judge. He wants a lot of times what we want when it's the best of our country, the best of our world. But brothers and sisters, will we last through what God's wanting us to do? Amen. Verse 1 of this implies us that men ought to always pray and faint not. I keep hearing from people that is in end times. How many have heard this? The end times. And sometimes it makes you think, maybe we are getting really close. Then what happens? After we think that, then what happens? Oh. If you really feel that way, are your sons and daughters saved? Are your aunts and uncles and your grandparents and your parents and your friends, are they saved, and your neighbors? Come on, church, if you really think that.
See, we ain't got no burden. We want to say we got a burden for the lost. We ain't got no burden. I'm praying God stir us up. There's joy in the service of the Master. We hear this type of preaching. You sorry, raise your voice. You're upset. I'm not upset. I'm excited about this. God is trying to wake up the people that can do the work He wants done. When's the last time you talked to a neighbor? Come on. When's the last time you talked to someone that lives right by you, that watches how you live, about their soul, or invite them to come and hear about Jesus? We were down at the Amish last night, talking to the Amish, and bless her heart, Chris started right into Sunday school with a man. Started telling about her Sunday school. Guess what? He's interested. She was telling about the little Zacchaeus tree down in her Sunday school room. That's really neat. You done that with Zacchaeus? Everybody with Zacchaeus to win the tree? That's me. So, it's a start. It's a start. Cora wanted to know about church. How'd you guys have church do this?
We was in the parking lot. That's neat. And I'll invite him again. He'll say, the bishop won't let me. And I'm going to say, well, where's the bishop? Let's go get him. We'll bring him first. If the bishop comes, then the rest of them are allowed to come. When's the last time you've talked to somebody about Jesus? I don't mean a stranger out on the street. That's good if that's who the Lord leads you to. But one who you live beside, that knows you.
Well, I can't talk to them. They know how I live. Then you better change.
See, I got faith in God's Word that tells us we need to lead a clean life. If we're really in the end times, why ain't the church really under a burden for the lost and trying everything they can think of? They know to preach the gospel and to be a light. We're to faint not. Keep praying that people repent from sin. The difference between us and the widow is we go to God. He's wanting to hear from us. One of the big differences between that widow and us is when we go to God, when we go to our just judge, He's wanting to hear from us. God, I need help today. I need to be able to be a witness to my neighbors. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, my faith is not what it should be. Increase my faith. See, the devil attacks our faith. Amen. The devil attacks our faith. Thursday, I was working on an engine. I put it back together, and I was trying to get it out fast because they was wanting it. And I went to start it. It'd fire once, and it wouldn't do nothing. I'm like, what in the world? And I'm working, and I'm working, and I'm working on this thing. And I said, Lord, would you just help me find what this is? Make this start? And I cranked, and I cranked, and I cranked, and I kept putting effort in it that way. And I said, God, you're able to do this. And I started to get discouraged. Like, Lord, I'm asking, and you know I'm doing this for the right reasons, but nothing's happening. You can get discouraged real quick. My brother comes along and said, did you grind them valves? I said, no, they're brand new. He stopped and happened to grind the valves on the shelf. I didn't know that. Dad says you should have known it. But I don't have to do it with any of it. Now I know it. And I was aggravated, took the thing apart, done the valve, run just like a top. And I was going down the road that night, and the Lord said, you asked for help, that engine running, you didn't thank me. And I was like, you're right, God. You're right. It is running. I found the problem. But I didn't get it the way I wanted it, so I wasn't thankful. Until God brought it to my attention. This happens in our faith. It'll start making, and the devil starts stuttering right away. You call yourself a preacher. You call yourself a Christian. God didn't even hear you. He could make that old engine run if he wanted to.
Come on, you ever been there when it's something that simple? Sometimes we got to have a little humility. I got to thinking, you know what? My prayer got answered. That engine's running and the customer got it on time. I had to have a little more effort in what I had to do. But God revealed to me what was wrong. I didn't like He revealed to me because it was something I should have done. He's revealed maybe a little bit why your faith's weak. You've been in every service you could get in. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can sit here and not hear anything I'm saying because you can get so mad and dug in your own ideas. All I'm doing is pointing us back to Scripture. Amen. Is faith important? Is it? Faith's more important than just you getting your prayers answered and being able to pray. Look in the 6th verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Could it be your faith is waning a little bit, that your joy is not where it ought to be because you failed to keep seeking God diligently? Sister just testified we need to keep seeking for higher ground. Why? We're human beings, and human beings have a tendency to get bored with where they're at and what they have. We do. We have a tendency. I remember the first pop-up camper Chris and I bought. Man, I was so happy. Oh, man, look at that thing. Look at that thing. Everybody else is looking like one. Brother Dan had about wore it out before I got it. And we had to put it one side a little bit. And just, look at that thing. Oh, man, I'm so happy with that. And then, I want a hard top. I want one that we don't have to set up. So we got that. Man, that was the happiest thing. And then it was a heavy one. We wanted a newer model. So we got that little JK we had that little slide out. Man, wow, this is the best one. We'll never want another one. We bought another one last year. We got rid of that one. That's just our tendency of human beings that we're never just satisfied in one spot. Even fishing. You sit there for a little bit, maybe you'll catch a few, and you look over here, and 3 or 4 people catching a lot more, you start getting a little closer. Or flipping the line. But we need to keep diligently seeking God. You're never going to get to a point where you shouldn't still be seeking God. What His will is in your life and what He would have you to do. Someone said, you're saying this takes a lot of time to serve God. Takes some time. People so tired in our world today. Amish, when he came up with a good one yesterday. Raymond said, I don't understand it. He said he was working on some buggy wheels. $600 for a set of buggy wheels. Same price as tires for a pickup truck. And he's putting linseed oil on them. He said, I could probably do this tomorrow. I said, what? You don't do nothing like that on Sunday, do you? He said, no, we're not supposed to, and I don't want to. He said, the good Lord give us a Sabbath day. He said, there's people that can take advantage of it that won't, and they complain about being tired. He said, I don't feel a bit sorry about it. I thought, he's right. God give us a Sabbath day, a day of rest to worship Him. We can just relax if we want to. A lot of times people use it to catch up on all this other stuff. But we can get discouraged real fast when we don't think God is hearing our prayers. Especially when it comes to a health issue or a family issue. Something that's really weighing on you. And we can get so consumed about that thing that we want, we fail to see what God wants us to do. That's why it's good to come to service, to hear the Word expounded on. To hear of others. And I'm not going to have time to get into all this. Other part, but just a brief thing. The pandemic. We're not the first people in time to go through something like this.
just 100 years ago had the Spanish flu. We're not the first people in time. Our generation, from mine up, Brother Danny might remember some of the boys faintly coming home from Vietnam, but not enough to register how they was damaged and families was taken and boys was drafted, you know, and taken clear out of their homes and put over into hell on earth, basically. We've not seen any big wars. We had Kuwait and we had Iraq, the conflicts over there, those wars over there. It was terrible for the people who had to go. You had to deal with that. Death's husband was over there. And the first one, wasn't it? And that's a scary time, too. But it wasn't to the point that our young men was being drafted. We ain't been through no world wars. In other words, we've had it really, really easy compared to a lot. This country, we've had it real easy compared to others. To the point, is God still proud to be called our God? I'm not grading you. I'm trying to stir us up. Lord, I want to be yours. I want to be fit for your kingdom. I want to be your child. And I'm trying to say, point out the things that we get discouraged with. We get discouraged sometimes that God don't just move, take care of this pandemic. I've been studying pandemics just a little bit in the Bible. Real quickly, I want you to go to 2 Chronicles with me. And we're going to find a place to get out here in a minute, because I want us to think about this. 2 Chronicles, and we're going to start in seventh chapter. And we'll break in here probably about the 12th verse when we get started. They had finished the house of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple so thick the priests ran out. There was such power right there at that time. And God chose to put His name there because of what these people did for Him. And then verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. God said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12, verse 13 also. Or if I send a pestilence among my people. Who sent the pestilence? The devil didn't. God sent it. Who did He send it among? His people. Why? He said, if I do this, we're going to see the reason why. If I do this. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God said, if you get away from me and you get into sin, you get corrupt, I'm going to send the pestilence. And it's going to wipe and keep going until the people, when you turn to me, I'll heal your land. Church, we have a responsibility. Now this pestilence is loose. Someone said, oh, now here you go. When you read that scripture, and I have faith in God's word, we need to get a message out there that people need to repent and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, when's the last time? When's the last time anybody has prayed that prayer in Psalms that David prayed? Lord, find any wicked way in me. If I would ask for a show of hands, probably everyone should say, how many will see this pandemic end? I do. Then everyone that would raise their hand should say, Lord, find any wicked way in me. Now, if you're living right, you can go to the 91st Psalm. He says, I'll protect you.
Well, I believe that, Brother Matt. Why not? And that doesn't mean people that are taking precautions, that want to wear masks and gloves, it doesn't mean their faith's waning in God. It doesn't mean that. Don't let that be a gauge. I'm talking about the fear and the prayer that we need to look to God and say, Lord, find any wicked way in me. Don't be lukewarm in this, brothers and sisters. Don't be lukewarm. Amen. But when we get discouraged, we can't really pray that way. Because we don't even feel like our prayers are ever being heard. Sometimes we can even listen to the devil and think that God's out to get us. And I know this firsthand because I've been there. And I knew it wasn't right when my mindset was there, and I'd ask my wife, pray with me. This ain't right the way I'm feeling. I know the devil's got me thinking. This hasn't been recently, but it was a time in our life when we had to really pray that God, that she had to pray, that God could reveal to me what was going on. Now I see it was in training grounds. I've stopped taking a good look at life when I was in that situation. And I found out that I was not diligently seeking God. I was seeking what I wanted. What I wanted out of life. Amen. What I wanted. And brother and sister, when you even get slightly away from God's word, the enemy can start working on you. We need faith. It's important. And if we fail to keep in good communication with God, sin is going to show up in our life. It will. I know I've been hitting some of these things and I've been hanging in the past. And God just burdening my heart with it. Go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I do. I appreciate. I had a fellow one time tell me that I should be thankful that people were here. And I am thankful that people were here. I'm thankful people were here. But I shouldn't have to thank you for coming through the door every time you come through the door. You didn't thank me for coming through the door. You're usually thankful when I quit talking. Hebrews 10. I'm in John 10. That's why I lost. Man, this is not lining up with what I'm thinking. Hebrews 10. 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the reasons it would be coming together, it's not that you need to be here, you need to be here, you need to be here, but there's a purpose in it. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance. Then in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. That's a warning that our faith could waver. And we get the warning, hold fast. And where do we get the warning to hold fast? Many times when we assemble with one another. Come on, we've heard it many, many times. People be going through something. Brother Mike, and I know, I was encouraged just this morning. Hey, your Brother Tim up there singing that song. You was thinking the same thing, wasn't you? That's a witness to us, God's Spirit speaking to us. Just in a small thing, we wouldn't have got that. We hadn't been together, would we? Oh, God help us.
For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Just if we could just get the fear of God back in people. If we could just get the fear of God back in people. I'm no expert at it. I'm looking for ways to serve God all the time. I still, to this day, I get to thinking, God, I don't even know if I know how to pray. Anybody else feel that way? How long have you been a Christian? Well, you should know how to pray. I don't even know if I know how, Lord. I still find there's a song, and I don't remember all of it, but one word of it is, teach me to pray like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'll go back and I'll read him calling out to God, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Even Jesus had a will to deal with. And his prayer was, not my will be done, thy will be done. And that's, I'll tell you what, we need to pay more attention to those types of things. Not my will be done, thy will be done, Father. We read in Sunday school that God created us to be for his pleasure. Not my will be done, Lord, but thy will. Amen. There's a great belief out there today, and it's loose. You talk to people, talk to pastors across this land, and I don't care if it's Church of God or where it is. There's less and less and less and less people attending church. More and more people are of the belief you don't need church, or you don't need to be in church. If you don't believe me, just look around. It's happening. It's working on us too. I hear people say, well, I don't believe you need to be in every service. You're not going to get the encouragement out in the world you get from being assembled with the saints. You may not feel as happy if your heart's really already in the world to be in with the house of the saints. But if you're wanting to be a child of God, and you're wanting to seek him, you'll find more here than you will out there. I don't mean just here. I'm talking about. But it's getting to a time that people are so wrapped up in their comfort. They don't believe it's working on them, but it's working on us. Brother Whitener lives in close to Baltimore, Maryland. Brother Danny tells me the church building holds probably about 200-300 people, 250 people, something like that. There's like 6 people in attendance up there. Newark. I don't know how many's in the city of Newark. 2,400 people. That's all. That's pretty. That seems all.
Oh, the city.
The city.
60,000.
60,000 people. If you filled up, if every person in the city of North Carolina went to church, there's not enough buildings. There's not enough buildings. If waiting for every village and everybody in this town come in here and the Church of Christ, we can't do it. And yet, there's space in every one of them in a Christian nation. People don't need God. They stay home and pray. And they have. Church attendance has been down in the last 25 years where people don't need God. They don't need preaching. They don't need any of that in this Christian nation. And look, in the last 25 years, the homosexuality that's went wild, the rampant sin that's went wild,
all the abortion that's went wild, all this stuff in this Christian nation. So you take that belief and you go tell the devil, I don't agree with you. Because that's the devil that's putting that in people's minds.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How's your faith? And is it important? Lord, can you pray the prayer, Lord, increase my faith? And Lord, look in me. See if there be any wicked thing. See if there be any wicked thing. Someone said, Brother Matt, I've had people tell me, this is why they don't like my style of preaching. You lay us open. You know, on Judgment Day, that word is supposed to discern and divide between the spirit, the body, and the soul. I'm paraphrasing it, but I got it. It's going to cut. It's going to cut right down into the inner man and say, are you pure? Because there's nothing unpure going to get into heaven. Nothing unpure. I'm not preaching to make anybody feel bad. My prayer is this. If you see where you're not lining up with God's word, you repent. America needs to repent. America's not going to get healed by saying, oh, we're sorry for our sin. We got to turn from our wicked ways. So, if nothing else, church, it's got to start with us. We got to get on our face before God and say, Lord, if we can't see it, ask God if He can see it. Is there any wicked way within me? And if there is, Lord, reveal it. But be ready to take care of it. Be ready to take care of it. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm pleading with you for. We want the blessings of God. That's what church is all about. I want you to have joy in your heart. I don't want this to be a laborious thing. I want us to be able to be able to sing the praises of God. And one of the reasons I don't think the church can sing the praises of God anymore, they're not burning in their heart, because we already know. We might not be living up to where we need to be. We know we feel different than what God tells us. But God help us, brothers and sisters. Well, I've done what the Lord's asked me this morning. I'll get back into it tonight. So thank God for His goodness to me. And I love and appreciate each and every one of you. Father in heaven, we're thankful how you've been with us. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you just continue to search us, Lord. My God, Father, just bring about truth to us, Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord, that your Spirit, Lord, just talk with each one, Lord. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone needs prayer, the altar is certainly open.